The classification of acute lymphoblastic leukemia has been simplified over the years, and we used to go through all these different subtypes, but really the thrust is it's either B-cell or T-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia. We used to usually think that the T-cells did worse, but they actually don't. They just have a slightly different relapse pattern, and the outcomes with modern therapy are very identical. What's taken out of this classification and is classified into a different group are those with Burkitt's leukemia. Now, that's a rare disease. Burkitt's typically presents as a lymphoma, but about 5% of ALL used to historically be, when, at least when I was in med school, classified under this classification of acute lymphoblastic leukemia. It's very important to differentiate Burkitt's leukemia as a different entity because they don't behave the same. Their expectations for outcome are very different if they're treated on a standard ALL therapy as opposed to Burkitt's protocol. So this has just been simplified. And then to remind you that there is a bimodal distribution of acute lymphoblastic leukemia, clearly the most common blood cancer, if you will, in children, second most common cancer behind brain tumors, but it is the bread and butter of our pediatric colleagues. But in the adult world, it's the least common leukemia. You do see a slightly higher increase in the incidence as you get older, but it dwarfs in comparison to chronic lymphoid, chronic myeloid leukemias, and even its acute counterpart, acute myeloid leukemia. And so it's so important that I spend a couple days really sorting out whether a patient is Philadelphia positive or negative, because I'm going to initiate different therapeutic backbones depending on the age of the patient. And pediatric-inspired studies have a lot of hepatotoxins, so if a patient is Philadelphia positive, I'm less likely to use a pediatric-inspired regimen with a tyrosine kinase inhibitor like dasatinib. For adult regimens or low-intensity regimens with my very older patients, over 60, then it's important to know whether there's a Philadelphia chromosome, because I'm going to start the tyrosine kinase inhibitor sometimes just with steroids in the very older or with some modified therapy. In the younger patient population who are Philadelphia negative, as I've alluded to, these are the patients that we treat with pediatric or pediatric-inspired therapies. It's more intense, a lot more complicated. The data on when does a patient become an adult, I mean, we know that. I mean, those of you who are parents know that very clearly. Independent decision-making, financial independence, mature systems, the host becomes an adult at a defined time, but the biology doesn't necessarily follow. The point I'm trying to bring here is that a 17-year-old with acute lymphoblastic leukemia is defined and allocated to a pediatric or children's hospital, but the biology of his or her disease is not that dissimilar to a 21-year-old that has been historically treated on adult regimens. And so this bifurcation, this splitting of patients just simply based on whether they're under 18, over 18, is extremely arbitrary because the biology doesn't work that way. It's more similar than not.